Let us read together Lord's Day 48 on page 137 of the Green Creeds book. Lord's Day 48 deals with the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. Which is the second petition? Thy kingdom come, that is, rule us so by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee, preserve and increase thy church, destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all. Beloved, ever since God's gracious salvation of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, the kingdom of God has been coming more and more through the centuries and millennia. The kingdom of God came especially through godly families in the book of Genesis, especially in the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From Exodus onwards, the kingdom of God came especially and centrally in the elect nation of Israel. They were the objects of the typical redemption from the bondage of Egypt. God extended his kingdom by giving them victory over the Canaanites and dispossessing the idolaters. God's kingdom was extended in them through the rule of the judges, like Samson and the kings. And the Old Testament particularly marks a major development in the form of the kingdom of God with the establishment of the monarchy in the house of David, the man after God's own heart, and great type of Jesus Christ. That kingdom of God then continued to come more and more through the Old Testament age until finally a man in the wilderness, clothed in camel hair and eating locusts and wild honey, began preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And soon after John the Baptist, Jesus of Nazareth proclaimed the same message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven was at hand because it came in Jesus Christ personally. He personally was the kingdom of heaven, because God's perfect rule came through the man Christ Jesus. That kingdom was then founded in the blood of the cross, established by the substitutionary death of our Savior for his people. In a few short weeks after that, the kingdom came in power with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. And this is the stage in the development of the kingdom of heaven where we are at, beloved. Now, despite all the machinations of the devil, and even through them, the kingdom of heaven is coming more and more. And that's wonderful. Now, I do not mean, though, that on the whole, a greater percentage of those on planet Earth are being saved with each generation. That's not it. I do not mean that just prior to Christ's return, the majority of people and civil governments will be Christian. Rather, with the coming of the kingdom more and more, we mean that the total number of those who are the called and gathered elect who are saved is increasing. With each conversion, the kingdom of God grows by one. And with each saint, as that saint grows in grace, the kingdom of God develops and deepens. And the kingdom of God progresses with the death of each believer. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because then a partially sanctified citizen of the kingdom of heaven becomes a 100% sanctified kingdom of heaven. So his entire allegiance is with Jesus Christ. Because the kingdom of God embraces people in two spheres. Those already in glory and those on earth who have been converted and are being progressively sanctified. The kingdom of God on earth too, over the last 2,000 years, has become more and more Catholic, which has nothing to do with popery whatsoever. That is, more and more countries and tribes have been added to the kingdom of God through their elect believing remnant. And the kingdom of God also includes more languages than probably any other time in the history of the world. And alongside this development and growth of the kingdom of God, and part of it, the increasing translations of the scriptures, the development of doctrine over against heresies, the testing and proving of true saints and churches through myriad trials and afflictions, so that the saints, each one, come through as gold which has been tried in the furnace. And this is where the second petition of the Lord's Prayer comes in. Because we and our children are not only part of the kingdom of God, as members of Jesus Christ and his church, and we not only have the privilege of laboring in the kingdom of heaven, but also we pray for that kingdom. We pray for that kingdom as we begin the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, there's the address, hallowed be thy name, as we saw last week, and now tonight, thy kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name through the coming of the kingdom, and thy kingdom come so that thy name is hallowed. The good news of praying the second petition is that not one true prayer for that kingdom is ever wasted. Not one of them goes lost or fails in its desire. Though we may not see it, that is the answer to it in this life, though it may seem to our weak faith that the kingdom is going backwards, or sometimes it goes backwards, or in some senses it goes backwards, all our prayers wrought in us by the Holy Spirit for the kingdom of God are answered, and the kingdom will come more and more, in the way I've described, and will come finally in answer to our petitions at the end of the world. Pray, our Father which art in heaven, may thy kingdom come, because it will. God is sure to answer that prayer. Not always in the way you think, not always in the time frame you may desire, but it will be answered. And of course, this kingdom has a glorious future. The future can be read of this kingdom in Daniel 7, verse 18. The saints of the Most High shall take or receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. That's the future of the kingdom. And on the last day, when Jesus Christ shall have put down all other rule and authority and power, so that his only is the authority in all the world, he shall reign over all things, because all are under his feet, openly, visibly, universally. And then Jesus Christ shall deliver the kingdom to the Father, saying thereby, Father, I did thy will, I saved the church, I destroyed the ungodly world, I finished the work thou gavest me to do, both on earth and through my rule at thy right hand in heaven. Here it is, Father. Here is the kingdom. And as 1 Corinthians 15 says, on that day, God will be all in all. kingdom will come finally and perfectly, so that God's name alone will be glorified. The first two petitions of the Lord's Prayer. This ought to encourage us to pray on and to pray more and to pray especially now this evening this petition, Thy Kingdom Come. It's a sure thing. It will be answered. Persevere. And then the question to us is, do we want to pray this? And the answer is, I trust in your heart, I do. I do. This is what I want, and I will pray this petition from the heart. Consider then praying for the coming of the kingdom. This is first praying for God's rule, emphasis on the word rule. Second, praying for God's church. And third, praying against God's enemies. Praying for the kingdom and its coming is praying for God's rule and for God's church and against God's enemies. Now, as a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven is the royal rule of the triune God by his word and spirit in the hearts and lives of his elect believing people. Now, there was a lot in that, so we'll say it again. The kingdom of heaven is the royal rule of God by his word and spirit in the hearts and lives of his elect believing people. And if you ask, where especially is the rule of Jesus Christ most evident on earth, then the biblical and reformed faith speaks with one voice. The preaching of the Word of God in true churches. John Calvin rightly referred to the preaching of the Holy Gospel as the royal scepter of King Jesus. The royal scepter of King Jesus. He wields that scepter in the preaching, and those who are his citizens bow and honor him. And this is therefore what the true citizens of the kingdom of heaven must and do pray in the second petition, to use the language of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 48. Lord, rule us by thy word and spirit. That is, first of all, rule us by the royal scepter of the preaching. Rule us so that we and our children not just sit in a pew, but seriously listen to and obey the word. And thereby we shall show that we and our children are truly citizens of the kingdom of heaven and not merely rebels. Because when you're dealing with a kingdom, an all-embracing, universal kingdom, you're one or the other. You're a citizen or you're a rebel. As a citizen, you'll be given the kingdom. As a rebel, the king of the kingdom will crush you. This is an absolute monarchy. The rule of Jesus Christ. Now, the other key of the kingdom of heaven, besides preaching, is church discipline. Thy kingdom come, answer 123, that is, rule us so by thy word and spirit, including through faithful church discipline. Thy kingdom come means, rule us, O God, through faithful elders. Rule us, O God, too, through family visitation. Rule us, O Lord, through biblical pastoral counseling. Rule us, O God, through personal admonition. May God forbid that we ever need it. Rule us, Lord, because I know that naturally I'm stubborn. Rule us, Lord, because naturally I am unruly. The opposite of being ruled. Impose the order of the kingdom of heaven, because kingdom is orderly, because I am spiritually disorderly. I've got to pray for this because I need this. That's the argument. And Jesus Christ also rules us officially by the two Christian sacraments, because baptism and the Lord's Supper signify and seal Christ's gracious rule over us. our loving King, declares in baptism, "All your sins are remitted." Our merciful Sovereign says, "You're a citizen of my kingdom. With my body and blood, I will strengthen you at the Lord's Supper." So when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're asking, "Lord, bless me and my family and my fellow saints at the Lord's Supper. Use it to rule over me." Because this is a means of grace that helps us as we grow spiritually and increase in sanctification. And of course, we should pray this that we may have a more blessed time of communion at the next administration of the sacraments on Sunday, the 19th of December. And we should think of this as we pray the second petition, because that too is included. Now, when the child of God prays the second petition, he reads the Bible alone and in his family. He does not pray, "Thy kingdom come," that is, "rule over me by thy word and spirit," and then ignore and disregard the King's great rule book. That wouldn't make sense. He prays instead, the second petition, "Thy kingdom come," and so he is empowered to read the King's word, because being interested in the coming of the kingdom, he wants to learn more about the kingdom of Christ. And the 66 books from Genesis to Revelation are all about the kingdom of Christ. And he wants to learn how to live as a citizen in this kingdom. So it is the child of God prays over and searches the scriptures on his own and in family devotions, because he is asking God, "Thy kingdom come. That's what I want. That's what I want." So it is that the kingdom of Christ, being the righteous rule of the Lord Jesus, that praying this second petition brings about a godly Christian order. Rule effects godly Christian order. Godly Christian order in the church. This is Article 30 of the Belgic Confession concerning the government of and offices in the church. We believe that this true church must be governed by that spiritual policy which our Lord hath taught us in his word. Namely, that there must be ministers or pastors to preach the word of God and to administer the sacraments. Also elders and deacons who together with the pastors form the council of the church. That by these means the true religion may be preserved and the true doctrine everywhere propagated. Likewise transgressors punished and restrained by spiritual means. Also that the poor and distressed may be relieved and comforted according to their necessities, some of which things we've already spoken of. And now get this. By these means, everything will be carried on in the church with good order and decency, because Christ is ruling, when faithful men are chosen according to the rule prescribed by St. Paul in his epistle to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3. So when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," Christ rules by the word and spirit in the various spheres. First, the church. Second, in our families. "Thy kingdom come," answer 123 says, that is, "Rule us so by thy word and spirit that we in my family and the other families in the church and throughout the world amongst the people of God, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee." And this means that fathers and mothers and husbands and wives and sons and daughters, as the second petition of the Lord's Prayer is uttered, are more and more ruled by Jesus Christ through his word and spirit, so that all in the home submit themselves to Christ. Rule and submit are the two verbs used in Lord's Day 48. Christ rules more and more in us so that we submit to his rule. In praying this second petition, therefore, wives submit to their husbands in all things as unto the Lord. You can't pray the second petition and be a feminist. Children, submit to and honor their parents. And you can't pray as a child the second petition and be a little tearaway rebel. Can't be done. And our children need to hear that too, that they don't, Christ holds them accountable for this too, that they don't just mouth the Lord's Prayer, including the second petition, and get a pat on the head and think all is well, and then, next thing, they disobey their parents and get stroppy with mother. When you pray the Lord's petition, thy kingdom come, then you must do what your parents tell you immediately and without ever answering back. Ah, that gladdens the heart of every parent. That's the kingdom of Christ as it comes to bear on the covenant children. And moving then from the Christian life as an orderly, disciplined life, not only in church and at home, praying the second petition means that we submit to those over us in the state, in society, at work, and at school, because Christ is ruling over me. Through various people, providentially, and I must submit myself to his rule through those whom he points over me, and I do this by the inner empowering of the Holy Spirit. Then when we think of this second petition, we admit too that it involves praying so that Christ rules more and more over the tongues of the citizens of his kingdom, so that we speak with greater wisdom and discretion, and we grumble less at the Lord for his way with us. Christ rules over us in all of our bodies, our tongues, our eyes, so that we don't go around with eyes filled with adultery. 2 Peter 2, lusting after other women, craving after pornography, or watching rubbish programs on TV. Thy kingdom come means, Lord, govern my ears so that they're not filled with deafening music at nightclubs, or filled with earphones carrying lascivious lyrics or heavy metal, or listening to the vile speech of those whom I have chosen as a friend, but who are ungodly. And then, if we're profaning the Lord with our bodies and our ears and our eyes and our tongues, then we need to fall down upon our knees in repentance and cry out to God for grace, because this is the lifestyle of those who are God's enemies, not of his friends and citizens and kingdom at all. And then when you repent, truly, you join the ranks of the kingdom, the despised kingdom, but the victorious kingdom. You'll notice in Lord's Day 48, after the second semicolon, we're on footnote 4, is hung, you'll notice this little phrase, thy kingdom come, that is, preserve and increase thy church. And you say, but I thought I was praying for the kingdom. Now I'm praying for the church. Make up your mind. What is it? Well, in praying thy kingdom come, we are praying for the church, because the church is that grand central institution in which God's sovereign reign comes to concrete manifestation. In the church, God especially rules by his word and spirit. In the church, God hangs up the two keys, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, in the church, which are preaching and church discipline. Church is equivalent to kingdom because the kingdom manifests itself in the church. Secondly, the church is the great central institution for the promotion and extension of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven grows, develops, spreads centrally through the church. Because that's where the keys of the kingdom are. And God opens and shuts doors into the kingdom through the keys which are given to the church. The preaching, which is key number one, brings in citizens of the kingdom from outside and builds up the citizens of the kingdom who are inside. And it also hardens others who are inside but who are not true citizens. And church discipline, which is the second key, also serves as a sort of border control of the kingdom. You're all familiar with border control. People wanting in, especially into richer kingdoms or city, or countries with greater measure of freedom. Well, church discipline is a sort of border control. So if some are expelled from the kingdom because of impenitence, and others, seeing the wilderness which lies outside the kingdom and being appalled at it, are then brought back to spiritual senses and return. The church and the kingdom and the church, essentially the covenant community of God from two different perspectives. That's what the kingdom is, and that's what the church is. And when the Catechism says, "Thy kingdom come," that is, preserve and increase thy church, it thereby acknowledges that the church and kingdom is attacked. The church and kingdom is always attacked. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, true churches and the kingdom of God are always attacked. Of course they are. That's the only thing the devil has to do. There are thousands and hundreds of thousands of demons. Most of the world are unbelievers. What do you think they do with their lives? They attack the church. Of course they do. The church and kingdom is attacked through false doctrine and false teachers. And they are legion. The church and kingdom is attacked through divisive talk, through the slander of departing churches, through persecution of wicked individuals, the policies of civil governments, pagan religions, and all the rest. And this congregation has been attacked in more and varied ways than an imaginative man would ever have thought possible. And so when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," that is, preserve the church, we're asking God in the second petition, in the name of Jesus Christ, seated at God's right hand, "Lord, preserve her doctrinally, so that she doesn't drift. Preserve her in holiness, so that people don't start just living like the world. Preserve her in unity, so that she's not racked with divisions. Preserve her children, so that they're not all lost, but that some, and many, and maybe even all, are kept. Preserve her office bearers. Preserve her preaching. And preserve all the members in the love of the truth." Not just the truth, but the love of it. Because apostasy comes when we lose the love of the truth. And apostasy is always, this is the idea of 2 Thessalonians 2, when we lose the love of the truth, it's saying yes to Antichrist. Come. Because that's how the churches drift. They lose, first of all, the love of the truth, and then when they've lost the love of the truth, they lose the truth. And then they're swept up into the kingdom of the beast. And Jesus taught us that in the last days the love of many will wax cold. That's the future for many. The love will wax cold. And along with that, this comes a deadening apathy. And in a congregation where nobody really cares. They don't really care about the word. They don't really care about each other. They don't care about the activities of the church. They don't care about evangelism. They don't care about holiness. It's all a shrug of the shoulders, and it's dying. Dying. But thy kingdom come, that's a different matter altogether. Preserve thy church. Thy kingdom come, that is also increase thy church. Yes. So that there is, or there are, more godly covenant seed. That is, because God uses means, bless the faithful parental instruction of the fathers and mothers in the congregation. Prosper the catechism classes so that the children come well prepared and they listen and learn their lessons. Simple, basic things that Christ honors and uses. Thy kingdom come, increase the church means prosper the evangelism efforts of us as this congregation in this area as we, the members of the church, witness to people. As we invite people to the church services, as we bring people to various meetings, as we give out pamphlets or DVDs or whatever, thy kingdom come. And since God has made a cosmos, that is a world, with many interconnections, you can't just witness in one place. Your witness is always, to some extent, also a witness further afield, through the internet, or translations, or our seminarian, Brother De Lucia, in the States. And then, in the good providence of God, thy kingdom come, increase thy church, also means, as we've been constituted here, bless the diligent labors of Reverend McGeown in Limerick. He needs that. Pray for him. And pray for the saints there that God will use their witness in a lonely outpost in the kingdom of heaven. And then, focusing briefly on what was happening here that's best known to us, we are also thereby praying for all true churches all around the world, most of whom are unknown to us, but God knows, as they go out to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. This is what we're asking for when we pray to our Father in heaven for Jesus' sake, thy kingdom come. And then we come to the negative bit. Because thy kingdom come also involves praying negatively. Praying against some things. Now this, of course, shouldn't trouble you. Shouldn't trouble you because you do pray against things and you understand that the Bible teaches this. But it shouldn't trouble you too because you understand that if you're really for something, you have to be against that which opposes it. If you're really for something, you have to be against what opposes it. And the more you're for something, the more you're against that which opposes it. The more you love the truth, then the more you will hate the lie. Cannot but be that. The more you follow Jesus Christ, the more you will oppose the world, and the more the world will oppose you. That can't be denied. That must be the case. And so, to pray for the kingdom of heaven means also to pray against the kingdom of darkness. Lord's Day 48 specifies three particulars. Destroy the works of the devil. We're against the devil. I trust, beloved, you're all against the devil and against all his works. And therefore, when we're praying against the devil and against all his works, we're praying against all lies and false doctrine. We're praying against all idolatry and all corruption of God's name and worship. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, we're asking God to destroy the works of the devil. And this is what Jesus did in principle on the cross. 1 John 3 verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. He came in the flesh and he died for our sins and overthrew the kingdom of darkness, that he might destroy the works of the devil. There, Satan's head was crushed, principally, and the end of the world and the judgment of Satan is the mopping up operation, when the devil shall be cast into the lake of fire. And then, the second point in Lord's Day 48 is that we ask the Lord to destroy also all the violence that would exalt itself against Christ. And thirdly, we must pray against all the opponents of sacred scripture. This is intriguing. We pray that God would destroy, quote, all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word. All wicked counsels devised against thy holy word. Praying the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, therefore, we are praying against the modern corrupt Bible versions with their omissions, sometimes of key parts of Scripture, with their false philosophies of translation. Wicked counsels devised against thy word. We're praying against the feminist scriptures which refer to God as she. Oh, we're praying against that. We're praying against the higher critics who reckon there are mistakes in God's holy word, errors and whatnot, and that Moses didn't write what he said as he wrote the first five books, and that there were several Isaiahs and all the old-fashioned higher critical foolishness. And we're praying against those ungodly people who ban the introduction of the Bible into various countries and persecute and imprison those caught with scriptures. Thy kingdom come, that is, destroy all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word. But I said at the start that all our prayers will be answered in keeping with this second petition, prayers born of the Holy Spirit. But all our prayers are not going to be perfectly realized in this age. It's not going to be the case that we will submit ourselves perfectly to Christ in this world. That's impossible. The church will never be preserved and increased so that it becomes the majority. That won't happen. The devil and his works will not finally be destroyed until the second coming of Christ. Violence will continue to the end of this age, and wicked counsels devised against God's word will proliferate, especially under the reign of Antichrist. And you know as well as I do that Scripture teaches that evil men will wax worse and worse. But we pray this. The prayers are realized in this world according to God's will, and those that are left over, so to speak, to refer to it as a man, will all go to this, bringing back the Lord Jesus on the clouds of heaven. Even so, come Lord Jesus. That's included in thy kingdom come, because when the king comes back, the kingdom comes in his train. So it is that we pray this second petition till the full perfection of the kingdom take place, wherein God shall be all in all. Amen.